Because so like if I'm upset about a race,
yeah,
I won't show it. I'll just go in the warm down pool and warm down. And that's like my 15-minute timer. And then I'll get out of the warm down pool and reset, focus on my next race or focus on my recovery for the next day or what I'm going to change for my training if that was my last event.
I love that. A short-term memory in swimming is so valuable.
Yes. Because there's so... You don't need to remember it. Nobody else does.
Right. Welcome to the Swim Strong Dry Land podcast, where we aim to highlight inspiring people doing amazing things in the Swim Strong family and in the greater swim community. I'm here with Lilla Bogner from Team Greenville, represented Team USA in Doha recently, which I'm really pumped for everybody to hear about that experience. But Lilla, most importantly, we got to start with our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, here we go. What is your favorite Disney movie?
Rapunzel.
Oh, wow. That was quick. Good.
Yeah.
All right. How about your favorite pre-meet meal or food?
Ooh, Chipotle, which like might seem like heavy, yes. But I love
Chipotle. Oh, that's the best. All right. How about your favorite candy of all time?
Snickers or like the mini candy canes that you get in your stocking at Christmas.
Really? The mini candy canes? Wow.
Yeah, not the big ones.
Okay. Yeah. Why are the mini ones better than the big ones?
They just taste way better and then you can justify eating like 12 of them.
That's awesome. All right. So you are stuck on a deserted island and you get to choose two people from Team USA, national junior team or national team that you swam with. Who's giving you the best chance of survival that you're going to choose?
Ooh, okay. Piper Engie, because okay. She's very good at like survival and she's strong and she's from Seattle and Seattle's like in the woods. Ooh, and then, okay. Kate Hurst, because Kate swims the mile and she could pull me off the island.
That's really good logic too. I like that.
Yeah.
Shout out Kate. Shout out Piper. All right. Favorite movie of all time?
Ooh, Grown Ups.
With comedy. Adam Sandler. Are you is comedy your genre?
Yeah, but like if I'm sad, I'll like watch a princess movie. it depends on the mood.
Fair enough. What is your least favorite race in swimming? If you're entered in this in a swim meet, you get not as excited.
400 freestyle long course.
400 free long course.
100 breaststroke long course.
Okay.
But after. So like I'll do like a 400 free, 100 breast double and it'll just be terrible.
but you like it during.
Wait.
You like the race during? You said you only don't like it after?
Oh, no.
No, you just don't like them either way. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. And last but not least, what's your favorite part of Swim Strong Dryland?
My favorite part of Swim Strong Dryland is the friends that I make and the feeling of the grind.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Lilla, thanks so much for answering all those. You did a great job with the rapid fire. Now we're going to jump into your background and you have some pretty incredible stuff going on in your life that you've worked like crazy to achieve. But I really want people to get to know you personally. And I want to start with just the beginnings of Lilla in the sport of swimming. How did you get involved in the sport in the first place? What drew you in to make this your sport?
My parents are super into water safety. I have four siblings. My older sister swam. And so did my older brother, and I kind of copied them. I did gymnastics till I was like 12. So I did gymnastics and swimming.
Wow.
And then I just kind of like swimming better. So I stuck to it. It was fun because all five of us swim and we're all on the same team. So
cool. It's
fun because we all kind of compete against each other as siblings. And we always compare practices in the car coming home. So it's fun.
So who is the most competitive sibling with you? Who would you like trash talk the most?
Oh, I don't know about trash talk, but like practice wise, probably my brother Nils, because we trained together. We did. He's a swimmer at Georgia Tech now, but
okay.
We were in the same group for a long time and we would like always kind of race each other and train off each other.
That's
and
funny.
It was just fun because I was like, I beat you at practice today.
So that's awesome. So when you made that decision going from, you were doing gymnastics and swimming, and you were like, swim, I like swimming better. What was it about swimming that you were, that you enjoyed about it that really made you say, like, I want to do this?
I just like the way I feel in the water. Like, when we were little, I'd get sad and my parents would like make me like take a bath or something because I would like get happy again. So, like, so I just like be in the water and it's like quiet. I like it.
That's awesome. So it's kind of like a peaceful place for you and just moving through the water. I mean, it's cool. You hear a lot of people at some of the highest levels talk about how like just being with the water is one of the most important things. Like having a feel for the water, a love for the water is like so important to be great and just to enjoy it. And it's always fun to hear people describe it. Like you just said, like it's love being in the water. And so that's awesome. When did you start recognizing that you are pretty good at swimming?
Probably after COVID. I think I was like 14. We went to like NCSAs. It was like my first junior national trip ever. Mm-hmm. It was super big. I was so excited. I think I was 13. No, I was 14. I was 14. And I was going with all the older kids, like all my brother's friends. And it was like a really fun travel trip. And I remember we were pacing. Like I was doing pace for like backstroke. And I was going fast, and then my brother's like, all my, like, all the older boys were like, stop sprinting, like, this is my pace, and that went really fast at me, and it was my pace, and it was really fun.
Let's go.
Yeah, so they were all, like, they were dying laughing after I got out of the pool. They were like, I guess we were wrong, but that was really fun. It kind of just, like, I was like, oh, wait, like, that was pretty good, and then I made my first junior team off that swim, and just, like, going there, and, like, being inspired by all my friends and like making friends within the junior team. In Team USA, I met my best friends, my lifelong friends, on the junior team and on Team USA. So just wanting to have more experiences like that, I think kind of fueled the fire.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And when you got on the national junior team and then started going to some of those camps and developing relationships with some of the people on the team, how have you seen that benefit your swim career? What have been some of the biggest positives of being a part of, the national team?
Yeah. So like just always having like support wherever you go, no matter like where you are. Sometimes I go to meets, and it's just me and I'll go and like, I'll know everyone on the pool deck. So it's really fun because you kind of have a team wherever you go and in your nation.
Yeah.
So it's really impacted it and that's been really fun.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it actually kind of lines up with exactly what you said earlier with Swim Strong, like the friendships that you can build with people across the country and being able to just have a network of people who support you and push you to be your best, I think it's a really cool thing. And it's really underestimated in all of sports, just having community, having relationships, having fun, and being able to be pushed by, you know, friends and teammates, even if they're in different places across the country. I think that's really cool. And you, more than anyone, from my observations and getting to know you, are one of the most social people, I think, on the pool deck. And
I like to talk.
I love
it. It's fun. It makes it better. It makes it less hurt. It makes it hurt less. You have more fun with it. So just don't be serious.
Yeah, you have like such a good energy about you. There's not a single person who doesn't love spending time with you because you're one of the people who, I'll talk to people a lot of times about like be a fountain, not a drain, like someone who brings life, is like springing life as opposed to like sucking life out of people. You're definitely a fountain and that's a gift. And people want to be around someone like that because you just make everyone around you feel so great and energized and positive. Where does that come from? Is that something you've always been? Like, did you like come out of the womb like just super like that as a kid, or like, is it something you've learned over time that you just know is important in the sport? What's that? Where does that come from for you?
I think just like being positive with your races and like yourself and during practice, especially, it really makes a difference in like the racing that you do and the ability that you have in practice. If you practice faster consistently, then you're going to get faster, and you're not going to be able to practice faster consistently if you have a negative attitude. But I guess I've always been like happy and like willing to do anything. I like to go on adventures. It's just fun. So I don't know.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. And being able to have that mindset consistently, even through challenging times in training or in the season or things aren't going your way, that's just a part of the process, right? That's a part of swimming. Like, not everything's going to be perfect. But have you noticed, can you say you notice a difference between times where you're like at a swim meet and you're really happy versus at a swim meet and you're just maybe stressed out or not in that mindset? Has that ever happened to you? Have you noticed a difference in those two states?
Oh, 100%. I feel like that happens to everyone. Mm-hmm. I set a timer. So if I'm upset about a race or upset about a meet or anything like that, I set a timer on my phone for 15 minutes and I'm allowed to be sad and upset and like the world is ending for 15 minutes. And then when the timer goes off, we got to get back. Got to get back to go. Forget about it. New day, new things to do. So
where does that come from? That's
usually it's my warm down. So like, cause so like if I'm upset about a race, I won't show it. I'll just go in the warm down pool and warm down. And that's like my 15 minute timer. And then I'll get out of the warm down pool and reset, focus on my next race or focus on my recovery for the next day or what I'm going to change for my training if that was my last event.
I love that. A short-term memory in swimming is so valuable because there's
you don't
so
need to remember it. Nobody else does.
Right. So how did you decide to do something like that, though, the 15-minute timer idea? Did that come from yourself, a coach, something you heard?
That came from one of my friends, Addison Swicky. We were talking about something and I was upset about something. She's like, just set a timer. I was like, what? And so we kind of both do that. And that's also from like junior team. Like my best friends there have really helped me. I learn from them every single day. So most of us set a timer. And when we set a timer, it's ready to move on. And I think that really helps us all perform and like have fun and enjoy the meet to its fullest and not just dwell on like one small thing that happened, because that can drag you down for everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. When one bad race pulls you down and then you don't set the timer and you let it affect the whole meet, then you don't get to enjoy. I mean, you worked every meet you go to, you've worked so hard to be there. And if you're not enjoying it, you're not doing it right. Even if you don't have a good meet, you still have to learn to be able to. This is something I've been studying a lot about, learning to enjoy even the bad moments or the moments that aren't exciting, because you still earned your, you know, earned the right to be there and you're doing your best. And so that's just a part of the process, like getting better. It's not a perfect straight line up. And so if you can enjoy even the bad moments, or at least let it all out and then move on quickly. And that's what I'm using as like to enjoy still that whole swim meet, and learn from the challenging moments, then you're doing something right. And I have no doubt that's been a big part of your success. And you have just recently come back from Doha at the World Championships and represented Team USA there. Which I want to hear about that experience. Tell everybody what that was like. Were you nervous the first time representing USA on the national and the international stage, Team USA? One of seven ladies representing Team USA. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And so, I mean, that's a big deal. So how did you feel? What was your mindset going in? And then tell us about your experience.
So like going to Doha, there was obviously like stuff with the roster. I got my email late December. One of my friends, Addie, had gotten her email like a week before, and I was like so excited for her, and it was awesome. So when like I got my email, I was like, I'm going too, which was super exciting. We got to go together. We've been on every single like USA trip together. So we went to Mel Zajac. That was our first one. And then we both went to World Juniors together, and then we both went to Worlds together. Wow. So it's fun to like see like it grow, you know, like, oh my gosh, 2 years ago we were here, now we're here. So it's really fun because every experience I've had with her. But it was a crazy experience. We were super excited to go. The gear was done. We were excited to get the cap with our name on it.
And we
flew there. It was exciting. I don't know, we just got there. We had like 5 days. We explored the city a little.
What was the coolest thing in the city? What were some of the like tourist attractions that you saw that were
memorable?
There
were kittens everywhere. And it was so cute. And it was amazing. We would go, like, we would walk everywhere, and there would just be, like, tiny little kittens, like, mewing. In the city, like, the buildings were, like, the tallest buildings I've ever seen in my life. I haven't been to New York. The biggest city I've been to is Atlanta. Okay. So just, like, seeing, like, the buildings was insane. It looked like some, like, AI, like, computerized, generated city. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was super clean. It was just really futuristic, which I think is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were just so excited to be there, and it was just really fun. Like, I trained hard, like, pretty hard, because I do like a 5-day drop, and where I am in 200 backstroke were like the last couple days. So I trained pretty hard during that week, but it was really fun. We had like an outdoor pool. We got tan because it was the desert. But yeah, it was just super awesome to see like people that like I looked up to when I was like little, and then I was like on a team with them, which was awesome. Oh, we made fun of that all the time. So Zach Harding is like 27, I think he said, or 26. And there was like a lot of older people there. But it was so funny because like we had like the high schoolers, and then Zach Harding and like Michael Ander were like teaching us about like mortgage and taxes. And they were like, you guys are gonna have to do this when we're older. And it was so fun because we were just like making fun of them. Nick Fink won his gold medal in like the breaststroke. And we wanted to make him, like, Nick, you're an inspiration that you're never too old to do what you love. So we were joking with them. And then on the bus, we always talked about like, they were giving us advice on like what to do when we're older. And Zach was like, yeah, my wife. And then everyone was like, you have a wife? It was just really fun. And the team dynamic was amazing. And
that's
the
cool.
team culture. So yeah.
The team, hearing a dynamic like that of people who are a generation apart or a decade apart, I don't know how long you consider a generation, but a decade apart or more, and hearing the team camaraderie in that is pretty awesome. And that's what it should be all about, right? Like people from who have been there and done that and are ahead of other people in life, giving back to the next people and just, you know, treating them the way that I'm sure other people treated them when they were younger and bringing them into the fold, so to speak. And that's awesome to hear about that type of camaraderie. Cause I'm sure it's not like that for every country, and I'm sure every year is different, but that's really awesome.
It was an awesome group.
How about your racing experience when you were swimming? Was the two back your first event at Doha?
Yes, two back was my first event.
Was that something when you got in the water, were you ready for the moment? Did you feel like it was just another swim meet? Were you really nervous? What was that experience like, first time on the international stage for the national team?
I don't know if I was that nervous. I think I was just excited to like race, because I was like the last couple of days everyone's like racing, or they were like done racing, and I was like, guys, I got two events, I'm not even started. But I started two back. It was really fun. I was pacing really well before. I was like really excited just to get in and swim, and like going into the ready room, it was cool to see. I was listening to Speak Now, Taylor's version.
That's your walkout music right there?
Sorry?
Is that your walkout music, Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Yeah.
Not even a hesitation.
Always Taylor. But yes, people realize, like, I wasn't that nervous. People begin to realize that international meets, yes, you're competing against other athletes in the world, but they're just, like, people. Like, people make it, like, bigger than it is. Like, you're in the ready room, and it's really no different than you being in the ready room at Winter Junior Nationals versus you being in the ready room at Worlds, other than they have a different flag on their cap. Mm-hmm. They're the same people. They have parents. They have a mortgage when they grow up. So it's like not, it feels like any other meet, other than the fact that like the way they present it is really, really fun.
Yeah.
And like walking out, there's like fire. I'm like, okay. It's just, yeah. So it's like every other meet, but it's more fun because it's more hype. And I think that is what helps everyone to swim fast, and what makes it super, super cool.
Yeah, that is really exciting when you bring that type of energy, which I feel like every swim meet should be like, to be honest. I think every swim meet should be hype, and you should bring that type of energy.
Bring fire to dual meets.
Yes.
<That's slow.
laughs> Yes, bring fire to dual meets 100%. And t-shirt guns and everything. Like, get the crowd fired up. Like, we should do – swimming should be fun. It should be so fun. And we need to think of more ideas to make swimming fun. So I'm so happy to hear you say that. But – so, and you did really well too. And obviously you said you just did a quick drop and you were, it was kind of like last minute that you got notified of going. So about a month and a half before or 2 months before you went. So obviously the training preparation was pretty quick. And you were one spot away from finals. Were you ninth in both events? Am I remembering looking at this correctly or am I misremembering this?
I was.
Okay. So like this close to making a final on the international stage, your first time there, which is amazing for really an in-season meet. Because obviously your focus is looking towards June. But tell me about that. What was that like? Did you think you were going to make finals? Did you know you were ninth, you know, right there on the outside of making a final?
So prelim swim for two back, I wasn't super happy with it, but I like knew what I needed to fix, so I was like excited for semis. I was like, I got this, like this is chill. Semis did not work out how I wanted it to either, but that's okay. I set my timer and it was good. And then I had a day off because I didn't make finals in two back. I was really close, but I did not make finals, so I had a day off, so it was nice to just kind of like reset at the hotel. I remember the night before 4 a.m. we like swam in the hotel pool because I did like my morning shakeout and then I went back and I wanted to like kind of rest from the pool. So Addie and I went to the hotel pool, which was on the roof and like the whole city, and we like sunset swam, which was really fun. So it's like just another like loosen, because the hotel pool is big, like it was good to swim. So yeah, and then 4 a.m. the morning, my goal obviously was to make finals. That did not end up happening, but that is okay. I learned a lot from the experience. I learned a lot from my friends, and I have some things I need to fix for definitely for 4 a.m. definitely for two back. So it's exciting to see that I have like places to improve on. So yep. I can sharpen my skills for trials.
For sure. For sure. You can hear, I was cracking up inside the laugh. I've set my timer and moved. You can tell like you still are like, so like I want, but there's that fire in you. Like I can hear it of like, I want more and I know I can do more and I know I have more I can fix. And even though it's a big race on short notice and not necessarily like taper, but like, but you still wanted it and you have that fire. And I love that. And I think that's something that makes you wildly successful. And in my personal opinion, coming in ninth is the best place you could come because it's like, oh, if I got like 11th, it's like, okay, there was a few people in front of me. If you're ninth, you're right there. And that just fires you, it ticks you off like in a different way than if you were like further away. So anyway, it burns more in the moment, but I think that like long-term, I think it's like, gives you a, I don't know. Do you find that to be true? Do you take like things like that and use them as fire, like something that upsets you when you know you could do more and it leads you to like training at a higher level? Or do you just kind of forget about it altogether and move on?
I don't really think I do that. Like, I don't really think I like get mad and then like train harder. Mm-hmm. I think I just like know in myself that I can be better and then work to train harder in that way.
Yeah.
I don't really like look at something and be like, oh, I was like somebody beat me in this, or like I was like ninth in this, and then be like, oh, I can like, I should train harder now because I don't want to be ninth again. Mm-hmm. I just kind of think of like, I can do better. So I get back in the pool.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's a great mindset. Just always focusing on you and knowing, and you
even,
know, what...
like even if I won, I don't think it would have changed what I did when I got home.
Why do you say that? To explain that. I like what you're saying. I want to know a little bit more of Lila's brain.
Like, it doesn't matter how high you get. There's always ways that you can improve. So even if I won, there would have been something I could improve on. And then I would go home and fix that. So it was really awesome to be able to swim on the world stage because it's something like trials. It's like the Olympics. It's like, it was a huge amazing experience that I'm super grateful for. And it was an awesome way to just see how I am in the middle of the season in February, see what I can do and see the places I need to fix and things I need to fine tune before trials. So it was an awesome experience because now I know.
Yeah.
And even if I had won, still would have done the same things when I got home, still would have gotten right back to training. So It's just, yeah, it's awesome. It doesn't really change. You just always got to keep going.
That's a great mentality. Stay humble, stay hungry, no matter how high you get. No matter where you finish, I think that's such a good mindset because there's always somebody else out there. Even if you break a world record, like somebody else is coming for it. And so just continue to see how far you can push the limits. And it doesn't sound like you set any limits on yourself, which I think is so important for people. Just be like, I don't know what I'm capable of, and I'm not about to put a ceiling on what I can do. Like, let's just keep pushing the envelope and see how far we can go. Like, that's
be happy, never satisfied. Set a happiness timer.
Yeah. Set a happiness timer.
Really good. Set a timer. Be so excited for 15 minutes and then get back to the ground.
That's good. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone set a happiness timer before. You could probably patent that right now if you wanted.
I should.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Focus on enjoying the moments and always trying to find new heights. That's awesome. What do you feel like you pull away from this as we approach trials? It's a great international experience, something on that type of stage. What would you say looking back now? I know it hasn't been too long since then, but looking back now, what would you say is like the biggest thing you're taking from Doha?
I'm never warming up again, ever.
Coach Carl, don't listen to this.
Kate Douglas is the funniest person I know. She's hilarious. But her and Claire and literally everyone else, like, don't warm up. They get in, they do their general warm up, and then they get in their suit and they don't warm up again. So I was like, okay, so what you guys are telling me is that I never need to warm up again. So I came home and Carl was like, what did you learn? And I was like, I'm never warming up for another race. And he was like, whoa, sent you. And I was like, great. So
funny. Yes,
in all seriousness, I probably should warm up.
Were they doing dynamic warm up on deck after the general warm up or just general warm up, suit up and go?
So wow. That's wow. Just proof. You can do it. You don't need all that. The work's already done. The hay is in the barn.
Everybody is different. It is pretty interesting. Everybody thinks they know exactly what everybody needs to do at different times. But I will say every person is different mentally and physically. And, you know, although we would typically suggest someone sounds like they did the general warm up. So that's good. So there's someone. But
just woke up and then broke the world record and then went back to sleep.
No big deal.
Yeah,
that's pretty incredible. Sorry, but no, go ahead. You were going to say what you took away the most besides that.
Yeah, so definitely what I took away the most is just be like easy on yourself. This is a super big competition. Know what you need and like be confident in what you need and be confident in your process and your training process. Don't look at other people and think like, oh, maybe I should do this.
Yeah.
Be confident in what brought you there. So at trials, just be confident in what brought you there and what you know that you need to do. There's a lot of fast swimmers and there's a lot of really good people that are going to be at trials and really good people that were at Worlds. But just knowing what I needed to do and what works for me really helped, and not looking at other people doing other things and thinking that I should do that too.
That's really, really insightful, Lila. Especially for someone in high school, but like for anybody, because it's so easy to go to a huge meet and look around and kind of be overwhelmed and see everybody who's got something slightly different that they do and be like, maybe I should do that. Or maybe you start to become unsure of yourself. And there's actually a book that I've been reading on sports psychology that talks about a lot of people when they move from, like, use basketball as an example. They were the best on their high school basketball team and they go to college and all of a sudden they're not the big dog anymore and everybody's as good as them and everybody's athletic. Or they did that from college to the NBA and now they were the star on their college team and now they're just a bench player. They don't even get starting and they lose confidence because they're like, well, everybody else around me is better. Their confidence was rooted in winning. it wasn't rooted in what they knew they could do. So it's okay to be the slowest at a big championship meet, like the first time you go, the second time you go, the 10th time you go. It's okay. But then the problem becomes if you start thinking like, oh, I need to do what they're doing. I'm unsure of myself now. Like, your confidence can't come from beating other people. Your confidence has to come from you and what you know you're capable of. And so I don't know if you realize like the insight of what you just said there, and maybe you've studied a lot about that too. But that's something that I strongly believe in. Like, your confidence, winning can help build confidence, but it can't be the source of your confidence. So is that something that you've thought about a lot, or that's just something like you're just like, yeah, I've always just been focused on me and not let other people affect me?
Well, it's a lot of things that like people have said in the past. Like, everyone's like do what works for you. You're obviously not going to change your tech suit brand that you wear when like you've gone fast with it. And you're like, maybe I should get a new tech suit and go faster, but you've gone fast with the other one. So like, don't change what you know works. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, there's obviously things you need to change. And that's what racing's for. It lets you know that.
Yeah.
But if something's working for you, don't see what other people are doing and then think that that's going to work for you too, because you've already found what works for you. So that's kind of the mentality.
Yeah. And that mentality too, is that something that you would say like Coach Carl with Team Greenville, with your club team, is that something that he's talked about a lot? Is that something kind of like just a part of the culture there? Talk a little about your experience with him and with the club team and the mindset there.
Yeah. So my team is so awesome. I love them. We are the TG Terrapins. Terrapins means that we're fast. That we're the fastest turtles in the water and the slowest on land. Terrapins factually, they're the fastest turtles in the water.
That's awesome.
So we like about that. But yeah, I've been on that team since I was 5 years old. I've went through a lot of awesome coaches there. Carl has been my coach since I was like 14, I think. Yeah. It's like 3 years. And he's awesome. I love just like, he brings a lot of energy to practice every day, which is really fun. And just like, I think trust is a big thing for us, like trusting what got you there.
Yeah.
He like always describes practice as like a piggy bank. And then every practice you put like a coin in the bank, and then at your taper meet, you like cash out, is what he says. So
I like that.
Yeah. So he's always like, every time we have like a hard practice, he's like, and we finish, he's like, you can add that one to the piggy bank. So just like keep putting the coins in the piggy bank and then cracking it open.
Yeah.
And it's super fun with my team. We're a smaller team. We're getting really big actually. So watch out.
Let's go.
We're a smaller team. So I've known like all my teammates since we were 5 years old. We've all grown up swimming together. We've all grown up like sleeping over at each other's houses, the nights of swim meets, you know. Cool. Yeah. So it's just really fun because we're all kind of like a big family.
That
we've
is
been
awesome.
Like siblings. We love each other like family, and it's really fun.
I feel like that's how it should be. It's not super common, but I feel like that's how it should be. Being a part of a swim team should be like a family. You guys spend so much time together day to day. To not have each other's support and to not care for each other would really be a bummer. So to hear that you guys have that and that's the type of team culture, that's really, really awesome and a blessing. And you can see too how this is something also unique about you and your character, I'm sure you've heard this before, but that you are really good at celebrating other people's success. A lot of people aren't very good at that. How come you're not like insecure about when other people do really good? You know, some people get bitter or jealous or they try to tear you down, and you're just like, you even said it earlier. Like, I think it was Addison you were talking about. She got her invite to Doha and you're like, yes. and you hadn't gotten one. And like, why are you like that? Why is it so easy for you to cheer for other people's success when many other people, for some reason, that's a struggle?
Well, you just kind of have to have like empathy towards other people, I guess. I think that's the word. I hope that's the word. But it's like, it's like if you put yourself in their shoes, like that's awesome. Like, I love seeing my friends do well and get success. I love seeing young people get success, like younger, like kids in the sport and younger people. Yeah. And it just makes it like that much more fun. Like, if you celebrate with that person, then like you get to share a little bit of that joy. And so that's really fun. And it's just like, it's fun. Like at World Juniors, like everyone's doing really good. And it was really fun to watch. It was fun to cheer. And it was just fun.
I hope
everybody's laughing. It's fun.
Yeah, you do. You do get to share in other people's joy. And it just is a lot more fun to be a part of someone else's journey as opposed to like wishing the opposite for them. But yeah, I see that a lot in all sports, but specifically like our sport, swimming. Like sometimes people just aren't good at celebrating other people's success. And I just really love the way that you do it. And I hope people imitate that, because we would all be so much better for it. Like people would go so much further too. You can do so much more together than you can ever do on your own. And you're living proof of that too. And it's just countless people at the top level. You'll always hear that it was 10,000 people along the way that had an influence on them that helped them get to where they are. And I love your mindset there and Coach Carl, and like you guys will train with different teams sometimes. Sometimes you'll go and train with SwimMAC or Sarasota, or go on training trips or do all kinds of different things that I've heard you share about. And I'm like, that's just so awesome, because so many coaches would be like, oh, I'm not sending my swimmer to another team. Like I see they're overprotective. And Carl is just like, look, she's going to be surrounded by other great people and learn from other people. Why would I not do that? Is that something you guys have talked about too? Just like being able to train with different people at different times and how that's helped you grow?
Yeah. So like there's a level of trust with me and Carl, and our like main goal is just to see me get as far as I can in the sport. And see me and my team get as far as they can in the sport. So it's just really like trying out new things if something doesn't work, and going to different places just to like kind of get a different sense of like training and like improve my adversity in the water. And it's really fun because I have like friends in different places. So I get to go visit them, which is really, really fun. But I like it. I like the change, and I think that's good. And I think that helps. A lot of people kind of get tired of doing the same things a lot of the time. So having that like adversity and having that change, well, also like having that trust, like after, if I'm like away for like a week or like away for like a couple of days, I'll like call my practice and they'll be like, oh, good idea. And I was like, wait, let's not use that. it's like a really hard practice. They'll be like, oh, nice. And then like, I'll miraculously see that practice on the board. But it's just really fun. It's just a layer of trust that we have, and knowing that like the things I do to get to be to where I want to be is awesome. And knowing that I can always come back home to my Terrapins and have an awesome environment and an awesome training area there.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love that, being able to have that variety, build friends with people across the country, be able to learn from different coaches, have different experiences, and have that, you said this several times, level of trust with your club coach, that it's like, hey, we're just doing what's best for you and for the team, and that's what it's all about. It's not about anybody individually in the process who's helping. It's about how can we give you the most success, make sure you're happy, and make an impact on the team and other people. And I love that way of thinking so much. I think it just sets you up for success, and it sets you up for the most joy. Last thing I want to ask you about is your college decision-making process, because you just somewhat recently committed. And so I wanted you to get to share a little bit about how you ended up going with UF. What was the mindset there? What really attracted you to the school, and what are you most excited about?
Yes. So I'm going to the University of Florida, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Going like recruiting was kind of crazy for me, because we had World Juniors, and that was like the first 2 weeks of recruiting. It like took up half of the recruiting visit times. So most of us, like the girls that were recruiting during World Juniors, like got back from World Juniors and had like all of our visits consecutively. So I'd like come home and then go on a college visit. But it was awesome. University of Florida, like just when I went there, the like culture of the girls, I know a lot of them already, but just the culture of the girls and like seeing how happy they were there and in practice. The school is really good. I want to be a pediatrician and work with kids. So like the medical school there is really good, and like the medical program is awesome. And I think they take academics really seriously, which is something that's important to me, because I'll be swimming for a long part of my life, but it's not going to be my entire life. So having something to fall back on, I think, is really, really important. And I like math and science.
That's good.
School. So yeah. And then just the culture there, I really trust the coaches. Coach Nesty and my coach, I think, coach very similar in that way. We do a little more yardage than normally people would do, but having that extra hard work gives me confidence in my training. So I trust net coach Nesty, and I thought they were great people and great coaches, and I loved Gainesville, and I loved the girls. So it was a no-brainer for me.
That's super exciting. Yeah, really, really exciting. What a legendary school too, historically incredible with all kinds of, I remember why we did a clinic with Gator Swim Club not too long ago, and I was walking onto their pool deck and just looking at the board of their Hall of Fame or their record breakers and all their Olympians and medalists from the different years. And it was quite a sight. Like, it's pretty inspiring just walking on the pool deck and seeing the history there. And so phenomenal program, coaching staff and group, and really excited for you. They're getting an awesome one. Someone who's really going to lift up the team culture even more and bring so much to the table in the water too. You have such a bright, bright career ahead of you, Lila. And it's just really exciting to think about the next year and a half before you get to go to college, what you can do. And then beyond that, well beyond that, I have no doubt you're going to continue to thrive, inspire people, and do some pretty crazy things because of who you are. And so it's a privilege to get to have you as a part of the Swim Strong family on the small group team. Thanks for everything that you do and all the work that you put in, and for inspiring me on a daily basis as well. And thanks for taking the time to be on this podcast here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. We'll see you later.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch a new episode each Monday. You can also check us out on social media at SwimStrongDryland. If you would like to join the Swim Strong family, visit our website at swimstrongdryland.com.